Episode 87, The Biblical Classical Approach to Greek Mythology.
Welcome to the Principles and Practice Podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here. You know, most curriculum, when it comes to history, is studying along a timeline, and eventually we get to the point where we are learning about the age of myths. And early on in my homeschool journey, I wasn't sure how to approach this with our children. I knew enough about Greek mythology to know that it's really not full of ideas that I myself want to be exposed to, and I didn't want to really expose my children to those things. And so, following in the footsteps of my parents, I didn't teach our older children anything about them because I didn't understand initially the biblical classical approach to studying about Greek mythology and why it really was necessary. Of note, all of our older four children have graduated from our homeschool, and they're all doing quite fine despite the fact that they did not learn Greek mythology. So I don't think it's here or there. I don't think it's going to make or break their paths as adults if they don't learn about Greek mythology. But once I comprehended the approach to it, then I started to go ahead and introduce it to our other children, and I'm going to walk you through how that looks so that you can take that into consideration for your homeschool. To begin with, I'd like to share about why it is that we even bother with learning anything about Greek mythology. The reason why we do is because there's throughout history this pagan idea of man and government, or there's the Christian idea or biblical idea of man and government. And when we're learning about Greek mythology in the context of their culture in ancient Greece, then we're learning about their view of God, man, and government. And the Greek mythology obviously has to do with their idea of God or their idea of man. And this is relevant in the big picture of things because it's the Christian idea of man and government that carries past ancient Greek history. And we see the outcome of that in the founding of our nation. So we identify the gospel moving westward to America, whereas the pagan idea of man and government stops, as it has no relation to the founding of our nation, nor does the pagan idea of man and government help with moving the gospel westward. So we're helping our children to see the effect of ideas in one way or another. So when we're reading about the Greek myths, we are using Nathaniel Hawthorne's A Wonder Book. And we do that because it's a cleaned up version, if you will, of Greek mythology. And I actually don't walk our children through very much of that book. I just do enough to where we can do a T-chart and we can compare the Greek mythological gods to the one true God so that our children can see that stark contrast and become more familiar with the true God, so that they can identify what is false. And then when we're looking at the Christian view of man and history, we go through the following novels, and that's just because it gives a bigger picture, and it helps them to see that while these other stories aren't necessarily Greek mythology, they're relevant to the pagan and Christian idea of man and government for the whole time period that is taking place here. So we read a major novel, Ben-Hur, The Tale of Christ by Lew Wallace. And then we also read On the Age of Chivalry, Christianity and English Chivalry. And the background novel is Men of Iron by Howard Pyle. And then there's a poet study. We study about Alfred Lord Tennyson and read his Ideals of the King. So we study a little bit about Shakespeare. He's known as the Bard of the Bible. And then there's also the classic narrative poem, The Courtship of Miles Standish by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And so all of these, like I said, give the big picture for the time period. So again, the pagan literature is carefully addressed. Since the Greek myths tie sinful attributes of man to these false gods, there are some details that we don't want our students introduced to, nor do we want these sinful ideas to be what their thoughts are dwelling on or carrying toward. So therefore, the reference books for the Age of Myths are carefully selected. And I'll share a little bit of that with you from the NOAA Plan Literature Curriculum Guide, which was published by the Foundation for American Christian Education in 1997. And this is found on page 207. It states, "A Wonder Book for Girls and Boys by Nathaniel Hawthorne. One of America's greatest Christian authors has deliberately retold six of the most prominent instructive of the Greek myths. He maintains the identity of the characters and story, yet manages to remove the harsh and immoral elements which are present in so many current books on the subject. This is the most delightful book which Nathaniel Hawthorne ever penned, and the style is one of beauty and of Christian morality, which cannot be disregarded even in dealing with a pagan area of study. It's highly recommended." Now, St. Augustine cautions against Greek and Latin mythology. From the Confessions of St. Augustine, 1963, by Rex Warner, in chapter 15 on page 33, it states, "For you granted me your discipline when I was learning useless things. Certainly in these studies I did learn a number of useful words, but I could have learned them just as well in studies that were not useless. And that is the safe path along which boys should go." Another quote from the Confessions of St. Augustine is, "But how one must condemn the river of human custom. How long will it sweep the sons of Eve into that huge and fearful ocean which can scarcely be passed by even those who have the mark of the cross upon their sails? Was it not here, in this stream of custom, that I read of Jupiter thundering at one moment and committing adultery the next? And which of our long-robed professors nowadays would listen seriously to one of his own school, like Cicero, who cried out, 'These were Homer's fictions. He merely gave human qualities to the gods. How I wish he had given divine qualities to men!' Though, in fact, it is truer to say, certainly, these were fictions of Homer, but his method was to give something of the divine to the wicked men, so that crimes should not be called crimes, and that whoever was guilty of such things might appear to be following in the footsteps of abandoned men, but of the heavenly gods." Augustine's education was specifically a Greek classical education, and that's oftentimes defined as the trivium. That being said, it's often said that the effect of the trivium is seen in Augustine's writings due to his classical education. However, do consider that the trivium is a natural way of learning, so it's not unique to a classical education. You can learn more about that in episode 86, The Lost Tools of Learning Were Never Lost. And in that episode, you'll learn about how biblical classical teachers see the trivium differently than Greek classical and Christian classical teachers do. We also address the identification of the pagan divinities. Although, with a biblical classical education, we don't have our children memorize them, nor do they dress up in costumes like these false gods, because they're a reflection of a godless, internal man who is without salvation through Christ. But we do converse with our children about how sorrowful it is for those souls without faith in Christ. And also, the NOAA plan does not have us address them with young children. In fact, it's recommended that we teach them beginning in fifth grade about Greek mythology. Instead of disconnected facts and ideas, biblical classical homeschoolers learn how each pagan divinity is assigned fallen attributes of mankind, and they learn that this is problematic for people. There's also a thought from Beacon Lights of History by John Lord that we teach our children, and that is this: these divinities, moreover, were not manifestations of supreme power and intelligence, but were creations of the fancy, as they came from popular legends, or the brains of poets, or the hands of artists, or the speculations of philosophers. And then, within the NOAA Plan Literature Curriculum Guide, there is a list of the Christian view of each pagan god. So if you're interested in purchasing the NOAA Plan Literature Curriculum Guide, you can go to principledacademy.com, click on the link for our store, and then go over to the FACE products. We do resell FACES products, and then you can purchase it through us and support our ministry. Additionally, we contrast influences. So, modeling after the teaching style of Jesus Christ, we use contrast. Verna Hall, one of the founders of the Foundation for American Christian Education, explained that we use contrast, which is modeling after the teaching style of Jesus Christ. We use it as a means of heightening the appeal to the distinctly Christian idea of man and government, the flow of force and power in an individual's life. On page 221 of the NOAA Plan Literature Curriculum Guide by the Foundation for American Christian Education, we also learn the pagan world is heartless. The individual is at the mercy and disposal of unpredictable forces and events. Appropriation and sacrifice must be made over and over again to satisfy these superhuman gods and goddesses. Consider a world where the external is more important than the internal, where a strength is measured by muscularity, where the intellect is measured by sophistry, false reasoning, and where the supernatural powers of man-made deities are bandied about among the gods whose own jealousies and domestic follies and sins are visited upon the poor humans who created them. What a contrast to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we take our students through this contrast, highlighting our Savior and how He is perfect. Indeed, Jesus Christ is elevated with a biblical classical approach to learning about Greek mythology. Is there anything to appreciate about the Greeks? Of course there is. And biblical classical homeschoolers point such things out to their students. From page 218 of the NOAA Plan Literature Guide by the Foundation for American Christian Education, we learn that the Christian scholar admits the presence of the pagan elements in our national heritage, but he recognizes that without Christianity, these elements would not have been found useful, like the pillars of the Parthenon, Acropolis in Athens, or the seats in the crumbling Colosseum in Rome. They would lie in the dust of the ages, monuments to a dead past. But with the quickening spirit of the gospel's westward move, the best elements of the pagan past were utilized, particularly in America, where the liberty of the individual could choose to use what served best to embellish the grand temple of civilization. Thus, the founding father generations utilized the marble columned buildings to suggest dignity and order as they constructed the new capital of the nation in Washington on the Potomac River. Many of the homes of the New Republic, the world's first Christian republic, utilized classical architecture to express the beauty of Christian constitutional liberty. One of the richest resources that you could have for your biblical classical homeschool is the NOAA Plan Literature Guide. So again, I'd encourage you to purchase that, and that can be found in our shop at principledacademy.com. So without a doubt, there's a great deal more we can cover with our students, but always, biblical classical homeschoolers teach students how to reason from Scripture, and we always point them to Christ as the focal point of history. The icing on the cake? For certain, it's the biblical worldview results that stem from a biblical classical education. And you can see the results from the Pearce test for yourself if you go to biblicalclassicalcommunity.com and check out that graph designed by Dan Smithwick of Nehemiah Institute. It shows you the effects of the form of education that students receive in schools and homeschools. And then also, be sure to get your worldview checkup. Go to worldviewcheckup.org. Use our affiliate code AMB103 and find out where you're at with your worldview, the five categories of life for politics, think government, economics, education, religion, and social issues. Thanks for joining me for this episode. Y'all take care, and I'll talk with you soon.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principledacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.